Good morning, and welcome to Union Congregational, where no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. For those of you who are new here or who might be visiting, if you cannot hear me, I am going to ask that there are devices in the back. If you go out those back doors and then to the right, there are hearing devices for you that if you cannot hear me very well, they will help you hear me better. And then also, if you have an address change, I know some of the summer people are going back to their winter places. We would love, if it has changed or if it has adjusted, whether your address, phone number, email, please fill out a little card that is in front of you in your pews. I believe it looks like, can I have that? Thank you. You're on top of things. It looks like this. Just put your address, phone number, or even if you're visiting and want to keep in contact with us, we would love for you to do that. And also there's, on the back, a place for prayer requests. Later on in the service, we have a prayer request time where we get to share out loud our prayer requests. But sometimes it is a little bit more closer to the heart where you don't want to share it with everybody. And so if you want to fill out a prayer request and then fold it up, put it in the offering plate later in the service, and then that will be only seen by me. So, and also, hi Stan.
There's a Red Explorer outside with the alarm going off.
Red Explorer outside with the alarm going off. If you have a Red Explorer, your alarm is going off. Okay, and last but not least, this morning, for the first time ever, we are Facebook Live. For those of you who know what Facebook is, there is a button that you can push on there that makes us go live. So any mistakes that I make are caught in real time. Or Kathleen, she's under pressure today. So we are actually broadcasting on Facebook Live. And then it can be, if you go on there later, you can actually watch the service again. And then the nice thing is that if you go away and you're not here for the weekend, or if you're away for the winter and you want to catch some of our services, you can just go on Facebook and watch them. So that is kind of an exciting thing today. We will be turning it off during prayer request time because that is more of a confidential time. But we'll turn it back on later when communion starts. So, and if you're wondering what that is, you can ask me about it after the service. If you want to get on Facebook, I can help you with it. Otherwise, I can recruit Miho to help you with it, and we can make sure that you get that. So, any other announcements this morning? Yes, Ron.
Thank you. Tuesday morning, 8:30 a.m., Men's Fellowship is having their breakfast, and they'll be doing their walkabout on Highway 40, doing a trash pickup on that day as well. Second is, I spoke with Feral Gas this past week. We have an agreed to a price of $1.19 a gallon. And for those church members that would like to participate in that, let me know. And I'll make sure your name gets on the list to Feral Gas.
Women's Fellowship, next Sunday, we will have our bake sale, as well as I'm going to bring some plants, and I thought if anybody else wanted to bring some plants that they're transplanting, mine have overgrown my garden, so I've got to thin them out a little bit. Bring those also, and it'll be from, I'd like to have the things here probably about 8 o'clock to start setting up the tables. I've got some help, but we can always use more help, and I hope you can all attend and hope you can all bring something. Thank you.
At the end of the service today, instead of our regular May God's blessing, the choir is going to sing Go Now in Peace. We've done this Labor Day for many, many years. I believe the words are going to be on the screen.
Yes.
And we'd like the congregation to join us. I'm sure most of you could sing this without the words. You've heard it so many times.
Any other announcements? Let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Join me in a time of silence to prepare our hearts. Like empty jars, we have come to be filled.
Like ornamental candles, we have come to be set ablaze.
Like aged wine, we have come to be poured out.
Like weary travelers, we have come to find rest.
Like lovers drifted apart, we have come to be reconciled.
Like little children, we have come to be surprised.
Hear the word of God and make your reply. My heart has heard you say, come and talk to me, O my people.
And my heart responds, God, I am coming.
Let us join together in praying. God of creation, some of us come today with songs in our heart that need to be sung. Some of us come today with wounds that need to be healed. And some of us come with questions deep in our souls that need to be answered. We come for many reasons. We come to worship. We come to find healing. We come for answers. We are here, O God. Speak to us through your Spirit. Amen. Let us stand, if you are able, and join together in singing, I Need You Every Hour, page 517 in your hymnal. Peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us take some time to join our friends and neighbors in passing the peace of Christ and greeting one another.
Oh, no pressure.
Yeah, right. No pressure.
You may be seated.
Reading this morning is from the book of Acts, one of the pivotal moments in our early history as followers of the way of Jesus, the Council of Jerusalem. Then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. So they went on their way by the church, and as they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised and ordered to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. Therefore, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write to them to abstain only from things polluted by idols and from fornication and from whatever has been strangled and from blood. For in every city, for generations past, Moses has had those who proclaim him, for he has been read aloud every Sabbath in the synagogues." Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Fred. Before we start the sermon today, I need to recognize a resource that I used so that I do not plagiarize many of the ideas and even some of the wording I have gotten from a coworker named Lillian Daniel, who is a UCC pastor in Dubuque, Iowa. And these are two books that she has written. And some of the things that I have gotten here this morning, I need to reference her in a Bible study that she actually wrote. So, as a ritual for my family, we did the dishes after big meals like dinner or supper. And my sister and my mom and I each had our different jobs, and we would rotate so that everything would be fair, because I hated wiping the dishes, especially the silverware. And So we rotated. And there was one day that I was washing the dishes. And I had gotten done with everything. And I took the hose, and what we call it in our family, we called it the water sprayer. And I turned on the water as hot as it could go so that I could begin rinsing out the suds in the sink. And my sister stopped me and said, "No, you're supposed to use cold water to rinse out the sink." And I thought that was just dumb. Who rinses out the sink with cold water? And so I shot back at her and I said, "No, you rinse it out with hot water." And she said, "No, you rinse it out with cold, because cold water gets rid of the suds faster." And I said, "No, you have to rinse it out with hot, because the hot water cleans it better." Well, this argument escalated to the point where we were fighting over the hose, the sprayer. And after everything got wet, my mom finally stepped in and said, "You are both right. Yes, cold water gets rid of the suds faster. And yes, hot water cleans it better. Just stop." My mom was so wise. And to this day, every time I wash the dishes, I think of that argument. And I think of that fight. And I still rinse the sink out with hot water and not cold. I also had a conversation with a friend of mine several years ago. We were talking about her church. She served on a worship team committee. And she had just gotten home from one of her monthly meetings. And it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And she called me. And she said, "Tori, you will not believe my night. I sat in a meeting for 3 hours. And an hour and a half of that, we argued about what color the table runner should be on the communion table." She goes, "An hour and a half for a color of a table runner." She vented for several more minutes and then ended and said, "I'm done. I'm vented out." And there was silence on the phone, and I didn't know if I dared to ask, but slowly I said, "So, what color is the table runner gonna be?" And I swear you could have heard a pin drop on that phone. And it was almost as if she was speaking through her teeth when she said, "We couldn't agree, and so we tabled it until our next meeting." We have some doozies of some arguments, don't we? Within our family, within our church family. And each one of us has our own beliefs of how to do things, whether it be soap suds or table runners. We have our convictions and our beliefs and our own way of worshiping God. And each one of us has our own opinions about how long a meeting should run, or how long a church service should be, or what color carpet needs to be put in the entryway. A lot of times these arguments are pretty minor, and sometimes can get petty. But sometimes arguments are important. Our story continues today. We've been going through the book of Acts for the last several months, and we've been learning about some adventures that the early church has experienced. The good news of Jesus Christ was spreading all over the world. Paul and Barnabas went on a mission trip full of ups and downs and good times and hard times. And now we read about the snag in this newfound faith called Christianity. This snag was an argument between believers. And what was their argument? It was about circumcision. At first, many would think this is much like the table runner argument from my friend's church. But in this case, there is a lot more to it than that. As the early church grew more diverse, they experienced growing pains. And it wasn't easy creating a religious movement that included both Jews and Gentiles. If we look back on the past several Sundays, we have watched this transition happen. We have read the story about Philip leading an Ethiopian eunuch to believe in Christ and then being baptized. Philip baptized an outsider to the faith. And on Paul's missionary journey, on his first missionary journey, we read about the numerous Gentiles who came to faith by seeing and hearing what Paul and Barnabas was speaking about. These Gentiles were outsiders. And now in Acts 15, we see it getting complicated. It was getting hard. And it's hard to integrate people into the fold when you're used to doing something a certain way. The early church movement, who were primarily Jewish, were welcoming now Gentiles. But the Gentiles were a minority in the group, and it was the Jewish believers who were the majority. So the majority, in this case, a lot of times did what majorities do. They said, "You are welcome here, but now we want you to become more like us." In this case, this group of Jewish believers told the new Gentile believers, "If you are not circumcised in the way of Moses, you cannot be saved." They were saying, "You Gentiles need to be more Jewish, more like us. And you have to go through a little bit of pain in order to do that." The Gentile believers were not excited about that. And they must have wondered if they were really welcomed here at all. Now let's think about our church here, whether it be the modern church or even here at Union Congregational. We all want to grow. But often what we mean is that we want to attract more people like us. And if that is true, maybe we really don't want to grow. Because growing means, are you ready for a really scary word? Growing means change. And some churches say that they want to grow, still they don't want to change. Because it won't work. Growth and change go hand in hand. And I think Paul and Barnabas had that figured out, because it says they debated to the point where they brought their argument before the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem and reported all that God did through them, reaching out to the Gentiles. And then some Pharisees stood up and said that they couldn't be part of their group unless they were circumcised. They needed to keep the law of Moses. They needed to follow their rules. And it was then that Peter stood up and gave a heart-wrenching speech. And Peter reminded them that God knows the hearts of humans and gave these believing Gentiles the Holy Spirit just like the Jewish believers. And God didn't make a distinction between Jews and Gentiles. And then he went on to argue, so why do we place these rules on them? He said our own ancestors couldn't even follow these rules. And the room went silent. Paul and Barnabas began telling stories of all the signs and wonders that God had done while they were with the Gentiles. And can you imagine how the Jewish believers in this room felt? Maybe some of them were amazed and grateful of God extending grace to everybody. But maybe some were confused. Maybe some were angry. Maybe some were jealous. Maybe some were thinking and questioning their faith and asking themselves, okay, what is happening here? Are you telling me that I spent my whole life following all these rules and now you're telling me it doesn't matter? And can you imagine how the Gentiles were thinking and feeling at the time? Nervous, anxious, or maybe some of them were like, phew, maybe I don't have to get circumcised. I think overall maybe some were thinking how they could all be in a community together when all their backgrounds were so very different from each other. How will they worship together? What will that look like? Eating a meal together, what is that going to look like? Some of us have food restrictions, some of us don't. What is that going to be like? How can they learn from each other when they disagree on things? Are they going to learn from each other, or are they going to just annoy one another? Will they fight? This is complicated. It was hard. And when Barnabas and Paul finished all their stories, James spoke up and came up with a plan. And it was decided to write a letter to the Gentile believers and to let them know the basic requirements that they needed to follow. And they were centered around sexual morality and idols. The letter asked people to be sensitive to one another's differences and to compromise in some areas. They asked the Gentile believers to think about what kinds of food they serve so that the Jewish believers would be able to eat with them. And they all agreed to keep the Sabbath together. So here we are, over 2,000 years later. Reading this ancient story in the early church, and we think, that's a nice story. But what does it matter for us today? There are three takeaways that I would like you to think about. First, it's nice to know that even the early church wasn't perfect. It was filled with imperfect people struggling to figure out how to love God and how to love others. And today here in Hackensack, Minnesota, we're doing the same thing. We're figuring out how to love God and love people. Second, building a diverse community is hard and it's complicated. We are a church that welcomes everybody. It doesn't matter the race, age, sex, sexual orientation. It doesn't matter the ethnicity, the economic situation, our ability or inability. Everyone is welcome here. But as we grow, we will change. And we want to make sure that we make people feel welcomed, and that we just don't say it. It's easy for us to stay in our groups that we know and that we're comfortable with. And sometimes it's hard to talk to somebody who might walk in the door and be new. I think we do a pretty good job at it, by the way. But this is just a reminder. Third, we all come from different backgrounds. Some of us come from a more traditional and conservative faith background, and other comes from more progressive and liberal faith backgrounds. And worship gets complicated sometimes because we believe different things. We have different opinions about different issues. And so we need to compromise at times. Maybe listen more than speak. And be okay with different views of interpretation of Scripture. My friends at Union Congregational, may we be the church that fights through our differences, our important differences. May we love God and love others and seek to do justice for people who can't fight for themselves. May we be a church that is not afraid to change as we grow and strive to be a place where we all feel welcome and safe, especially those who might be marginalized in this world. And may we know when to compromise on the small things for the sake of inclusion. This community needs this church. And we need one another. Amen. 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 Let us stand and sing. Page 448, it will also be up on the screen. Take My Life, God Let It Be, verses 1, 2, and 4. May be seated. At this time, we will share joys and concerns and praises and prayer requests. Does anyone have a joy or a prayer request? We turned off Facebook, by the way.
I wanted to give everybody an update on Dick. He's doing really well for where he is. Don and I went in early Wednesday so Don could go down and do PT with him. And they asked him to get up out of the chair, and he did it. Now, with help, he did make a lap and a half around, but he was huffing and puffing by the time they set him back down. Each day he makes a little bit of a improvement. So it's going to be a long haul for him, but he's not going backwards. He's going forward, so that's a good sign. So keep the prayers coming.
Good. That's good to hear.
Good morning. I would ask for prayers for all of those, including our daughter, who down in Florida, who are in the path of that hurricane. Please offer up your help and support to those folks. It's going to be pretty devastating. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Yes.
I just want to give a short update about my daughter and her husband who are hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. They are 2 weeks from being finished with their hike. My daughter goes back to work at the end of September. And I'm not certain of the total miles, but I'm guessing it's close to 2,000 miles that they've walked. Started in April, and I've been providing them with some dehydrated meals, maybe 8 different meals, and those are 8 meals I'm never making again.
And Mom and Dad are anxious to get them off the trail because it has been dangerous. Any others? Oh, we have one over here.
So Bonnie gave me permission to say that she had 2 episodes that required the paramedics to come visit her and 1 trip to Brainerd, but her heart passed the test, but she and Joe are not here because they both have something like the flu now.
Oh.
So anyhow, it was pretty exciting. She said, "Don't come and visit me."
Like Bonnie's an introvert. Yeah. But we're glad. We're glad that she is doing well. That is scary. And also another prayer request. I was listening to the news this morning, and there has been another shooting in Texas where they were pulled over for a traffic stop, and he started shooting. He pulled away, and the scary thing was is that when he pulled away, he just started randomly shooting into other cars. And at this point in time, when I left before this morning, there had been 5 killed and 21 injured. And they did get the guy, unfortunately. He was shot and killed. But yeah, the violence continues. Any others? Let's go to God in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we come before you today. Some of us having joyful hearts and some of us struggling through the day. God, we know that you are a God who cares for his people, that you are a God who cares for those who are marginalized, for those who don't have justice. God, we ask that you reveal yourself to people. Reveal who you are. Reveal that you are love. And bring your peace to this world. God, we pray for those who protect us. Firefighters, policemen, first responders, people who put their own lives aside to protect ours. God, thank you. God, we lift up those who have been affected in the shooting in Texas. So many lives impacted because of somebody's choices to do violence. We ask that you surround those families with your presence and with your love. We ask that you comfort them and hold them in your arms. God, we also pray as a Hurricane Dorian is about to slam against the coast and is going through Jamaica. God, we ask that you protect people, you protect animals, you protect your creation. And God, we thank you that Jenny and Peter only have 2 more weeks on the trails. We thank you that you have just protected them in the big things and in the little things, from injuries to stumbles on the trail. We ask that you continue to guide them and continue to protect them as they come off the trail. And we pray for Dick. We thank you for his progress. We thank you for strengthening him and that he is going forward. We also know that he has a long way to go, that you continue to strengthen him so that he can come home. And God, we thank you for Bonnie, for protecting her as she has gone through a few heart scares where she needed to get that checked out. But God, we are so glad that she is okay and that she is rambunctious and that she is spirited. And we ask and pray for her and Joe now as they are not feeling well. And we pray for all of those who are not feeling well today in our congregation who could not be here. We ask that you heal them. God, we ask for our country, that you heal our country and that you bring us together as one, that you unify us, that we pray for our leaders. Whether we agree or disagree with them, God, we know that you love them. And so we pray for them and ask that you give them wisdom to know how to lead. And God, we pray this all in your Son's name, who have taught us to say, Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I have a confession to make. I have been a member of this church for 36 plus years, and it's only probably been the last 5 or 6 that I've actually filled out a pledge card. My thought was, as a church, shouldn't we all just have faith that everything's going to work out? I found it slightly annoying at times that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for a month or more, we'd be reminded, please fill out your pledge card. My thought was, isn't giving enough? Isn't it good enough? Then, a few years ago, whoever was leading our pledge campaign had the bright idea of having council and board members get their pledges in right away as an example to the rest of the congregation. Well, I didn't want to be singled out as somebody who wasn't cooperative. So I filled out my card, and I have to admit, it was pretty painless to do that. And then I stopped and thought, well, asking a church to operate on an unknown amount of income is like you accepting a job and your employer says, I'm not sure what we're going to pay you, but it'll be enough to cover your expenses, maybe a little extra. I don't know if it'll be every week, every month, once a year, but we'll take care of you. That wouldn't work very well at my house, and I'm sure that not yours either. So as treasurer, I'm requesting that you make my job a little easier and that of the Board of Financial Stewardship by taking a look at that pledge card, thinking about it, and filling it out and turning it in. If things changed throughout the year and you can't complete that, it's as simple as a call or an email or a letter to Don, and that's okay. We don't want to put you in a position that is uncomfortable financially for you. Out in the narthex today, there's a little chart on the easel of how we are doing so far this year, and I think it's fairly positive, and for that we thank you. And as our choir anthem stated today, all we offer back to you
has come from you alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Will the ushers please come forward for our morning tithes and offerings? Seated. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion. Let's pray together. God of creation, we have learned that Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly. This abundance is ours, offered freely to all of us. Yet instead of thanking you, we take it for granted. We forget. We do not always or willingly share, even though we know of suffering in this world. We confess that we contribute to that suffering when we ignore it. We confess that we have blamed others, or even you, for our sins. Forgive us for the sin of withholding. Forgive us our lack of faith. Forgive us our reluctance to trust you. Forgive us for not acknowledging our own abundance and all which comes from you and you only. Amen. God is a God of love and grace, and his forgiveness transcends all understanding. He forgives, he loves, and embraces his people. Amen. Let us continue just to sit. And we have a song that's called, as we continue to prepare our hearts, it's called Let's Break Bread Together. And it's on page 330 in your hymnals, but it will also be up here, verses 1 and 2. Company with all believers in every time and beyond time, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. On an evening when Christ was betrayed, he was gathered in a room with his friends. And at some point during the night, he took some bread during the meal. He raised it, he blessed it, and he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And then he took some wine and he poured it. And he said, "This is my blood, a new covenant that I make with you. And that every time you eat this bread and you drink this wine, you are remembering me until I come again." My friends, this is not my table. And this is not Union Congregational's table or even the United Church of Christ's table. This is Christ's table. And all are welcome to partake of it, no matter if you are a member here, no matter if you are a first-time visitor. This is Christ's table, and it is open for everybody. My friends, the table is prepared. Let's come and feast. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat. This is my blood, a new covenant that I make with you. Take and drink. Let us pray together. God of love and peace, as we gather in this place, at this table, we have tasted and we have heard the signs of your love for us. Grant that we may go away from this place filled with your love for you and overwhelming for who share their lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Before the benediction, I know for some of you, who have been with us all summer, this might be your last Sunday, if not close to the last Sunday. And as Cheryl expressed during announcements, that this ending song is the song that we sing during Memorial Day all the time to send out our friends who go away for the winter. And so know, our friends who are leaving us, that we give you a special blessing. Receive now the benediction. May God the Creator go with you this week. May Christ Jesus shine through you and the Holy Spirit guide you in all that you do. Amen. May I ask you to rise? That seems like a good thing to do.